Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 23 said, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue." He wasn't making them come to their church. He went to theirs. Can you imagine? Verse number 23. Did I write down the wrong scripture? I'm sorry. Let me go to my Bible instead of looking at my iPad. Let me see if I can see through my tears. I got the wrong chapter. Where did I go? Well, praise the Lord. I don't know where that went. That's just too funny now. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's funny. I don't care who you are. You just go ahead, laugh. I mean, it's a good time to laugh right now because it's... Huh? Isn't that what I said? Matthew 4? Is that what I have written right there, though?
Yeah, that's what you got written.
Okay, that's what I got written, but that's not what I said. Y'all can laugh at me. That's good. Amen. Okay, I'm just making sure that's what I wrote, but I didn't say it. Okay. Now y'all really going to be scared because you ain't going to know what's going to come out of my mouth.
Lord, have mercy.
Amen. And Jesus went about all Galilee. Are you there?
Amen.
Now does your Bible read right? Okay. All right. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. I find this very interesting that he continually went to their churches. As I passed by Life Church and some of these others on the way here, I thought, my, what, oh, how awesome would that be for me to take this exit, walk in there, and walk right up into that pulpit and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen, amen. That's not my message. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people. If anybody belongs here in the house of the Lord, it's sick people. Amen. Sick people in their mind, sick in their emotions, sick in their body. A lot of times we relegate sickness just to the physical. Amen. But there's a whole lot more emotional sickness and mental sickness than just physical. Amen. Unto him all the sick people and were taken with diverse diseases and torments. My. And those which were possessed with devils and those which were lunatic. And those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Amen. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee. And from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now I'm going to give you the title of my message, and we're going to travel a little ways with this. And the title of my message may seem a little bit off at first, but the title is "Who Preached to Decapolis?" Who preached to Decapolis. We know a lot of who preached in Galilee and who preached in Jerusalem and who preached in Judea and some of the other places, but it named here specifically Decapolis. Dear Jesus, we love you and appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It is already blessed. It is already anointed, but I need your help. Help these feeble lips of clay to speak acceptable words that are pleasing in your sight. God, may you help the ears of the hearer that they may hear and not only be hearers but also doers of your word. Open our understanding, enlighten our eyes, God. May you shine deep into our spirit today. Reveal yourself, reveal your strength, your power, your deliverance. I pray, God, that you would heal every disease, that you would heal every torment, that you would heal every emotion in this house today. In your precious name, we are depending on you. It is not of works of righteousness that we have done, but by your mighty name, by your mighty name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We give you glory right now. Thank you, Lord, for doing it already and walking amongst these aisles right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated in the wonderful name of Jesus. If you will turn your Bibles quickly over to Mark chapter number 5, we will quickly get into this. Mark chapter number 5, I believe it is the right chapter. And I believe it is the right verse now that I'm paying a little bit closer attention. Amen. And the verse 1 said, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship," immediately, everybody said immediately. Immediately, "there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, whom had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." We've got a serious case of demonic oppression. We've got a serious issue with a man that it didn't matter how many pairs of handcuffs they used, no matter the ball and the chain, no matter the jailhouse, he would break free. Now, verse number 4 said, "Because he had been often bound with fetters." So it wasn't just once, it was multiple times. He was bound often with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder. It would be kind of like some of us taking the toy handcuffs out of Walmart toy aisle and putting them on and acting like we can't get free and just pop them apart and it be over. Amen. He would just pluck them asunder. And then it said again, "Neither could any man tame him." Amen. There were some things in his life that were out of control. And verse number 5 goes on, "And always, and always, and always." Sometimes we skip over these things, but always. The Bible said always, night and day. Always he was screaming. Always he was night and day. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This man was a mess. This man was probably not the one that you saw at Brahms. This man was probably not the person that you saw at Dylan's.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Probably not.
And if you did, you probably didn't go to him and hand him a church card. You probably saw all the piercings and the tats and all of the destructive things and steered clear.
Yeah.
And went, "You already made a judgment."
Guilty is charged.
I said, guilty is charged. Amen. But this man had some serious issues. He lived in the Gadara Cemetery, a place of death. a place of no future. I want you to think about that for a moment. He lived continually in a place where there was no hope, no future, no brighter day, no hope of something better tomorrow. And so thus he would scream and cry day and night and cut himself over and over and over again. And I've known people that have done that very thing. And they've cut and they've cut and they've cut. I use the backside, just so you know, because this is sharp. And they've cut themselves over and over again. Why? Trying to relieve pain. Uh-huh. Trying to find a way out of pain, of misery, of torment, of emotional distresses, of mental anguish, of things that were out of his control. And so somehow he would find himself cutting and screaming and crying because he wanted deliverance. Yeah. But then verse 6 says, but when he saw Jesus. Now we sang some songs today, and we did a little jig and we clapped our hands and we did our little due diligence to Jesus. But I dare say this morning that there's still behind your pretty dress and your nice hairdo and behind your tie and your nicely pressed shirt, there's some emotional distresses. There's some things that you don't want nobody else to know, and you're hiding behind this veil of perfection. You're hiding behind a veil that looks pretty and looks handsome and looks like they've got it all together. But this morning you woke up and you were hurting. And you were in distress, and there were things weighing on your mind, and there was trouble in your heart, and there was a stirring in your spirit. But you've lived with it for a very long time, so what did you do? You put on the tie the same way you always done. You brushed your teeth, you combed your hair, you put your nice suit on, you put your dress on, got your heels on, and you came to church like you always done.
Go ahead, yeah.
But did you ever expect Jesus to show up? Or was it just going to be, and I know we say it and it's cliche, it's not just another church service. But I'm afraid to tell you, for the major majority of us, it is just another church service. Because we didn't come really expecting Jesus to be here and to rock my world and to turn me upside down. I didn't expect Jesus to come in and touch that tender spot that I don't want nobody to know, and I don't want nobody to mess with me. Don't touch me. Leave me alone. We hide behind this veil. And we make all these excuses. I know I'm preaching. And I don't need you to jump, and I don't need you to shout, and I don't need you to respond. Because you don't need to respond to this guy. You need to respond to him because Jesus came. And he was looking. He was looking for somebody. Oh God. But when he saw Jesus afar off, the scripture said that he ran and he worshiped him. Now, what I find very interesting about this is when it says he ran and he worshiped him. Verse 7 said, he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Who was really speaking? Before the man, can I say it like this? Before the man could even get a word out edgewise, the devil started speaking for him. And may I make a declaration this morning? Don't let the devil speak for you today. I know what he whispers in your ear. Sit down. I want you to stand up. I know what he's whispering in your ear. I know what the whispers were. You know why? Because, Brother Josh, I've had the same whispers. I've had the same torments. I've had the same struggles. I've had the same stuff come and attack my mind. And the devil will start to speak for you and say, not this service.
Come on.
You done too much wrong. You know those things you were thinking, you shouldn't have been thinking that. And you knew good and well you shouldn't have been thinking that. You knew where you went and you shouldn't have went there. And now you come to church and you act like you got everything together. You're nothing but a rotten, dirty, good-for-nothing scoundrel. But I'm here to make a declaration this morning that somebody's got to make up in their mind today that the devil's not going to speak for me any longer. He's not going to speak for me. He's not going to talk on my behalf. How is it that the devil began to make demands? How is it that the devil can make demands of the children of God and influence us in such a way? And some of you are saying, yeah, but this was a demonic. This was the legion. This is a, yeah. Go ahead. Reason it away. Go ahead and let the enemy of your soul talk just that one thing. But it was one thing that thou lackest. I said, but it was one thing that thou lackest. He said, who gave him the ability to say, I adjure thee. What? The demon starts talking and he says, swear to me. Make me a promise. Don't torment us before our time. Don't send us to hell before our time. So, contrary to popular belief, demons are scared to go to hell.
All right, think about it.
I don't care what Farside has said. Oh yeah, the comic of Farside, probably one of the ones that made me the most upset, is the devil sitting over there in the corner and seeing a guy pushing a wheelbarrow and whistling. Let me tell you, Farside, it's not reality.
Right.
We're not getting to him. No, hell, I'm telling you, the devils don't even want to go to hell. They're scared of hell. They're screaming out. You know why? Because they knew, this guy's made up in his mind. He's come to the feet of Jesus, and we've got some problems, so we need to get Jesus to promise us some things. We need to get Jesus to make us some deals and not cast us into hell. They don't want to go either. Verse number 8 said, for he, Jesus, said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He speaks to it. He doesn't go grab the guy like us professional Pentecostals do. Go grab one arm. You grab one arm, I'll grab the other arm. We'll shake him back and forth. We'll shake the devil out of him. We'll lay hands on him and tilt his head all the way back till it goes backwards at angles that it's not supposed to go. We'll get that devil.
Yeah.
No, you ain't going to get nothing.
Yeah.
Jesus just spoke to it.
Right.
Come out of him.
Right.
Come out of him. Yeah. If we only understood the power. And sometimes we get so caught up. Please forgive me. Just understand what I'm saying. In antics and all of this stuff, we get caught up in all of that. When so many times, over and over again, Jesus gives us what? An example. Over and over again, he said, come out of him. Very seldom does he ever really touch him. He speaks to it. He speaks to this. He speaks to that. You know why? Because in the beginning, he spoke, and it happened. He's very comfortable with, in the beginning, speaking, and it happening. And guess what? If Christ be in you, if you've got the Holy Ghost, that's God in you. That's not little God in you. That's just a little bit of power in you. It's all of it. You have all the authority. You got Daddy's name behind you. You've got his authority. You've got his stamp of approval. You can speak to it likewise. Speak to it. Speak to it. And I believe that we've got to anoint with oil. And there are scriptures to back all that. But sometimes we ought to understand the authority that is behind us as a child of the Most High, the only living God, that we can speak to it. So Jesus asks him, he says, what is thy name? And he answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And I stopped right there, and I'm not thinking about many as far as each of the devils or each of the spirits or so on. I'm thinking about we are many. We got many problems. We got many situations. I got a lot of hurt. I got a lot of baggage. I got a lot of stuff. You know, I at Brahms on Sunday night, my wife went over and she asked a guy to come to church, and he said, oh no. And I've been grieved by it every day. He said, oh no. God doesn't want somebody like me. No! The devil just spoke for that man. The next time we invite somebody and they say, oh no, God wouldn't want me. Don't let the devil speak for them. Tell them, oh no, 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 no. You don't understand. You don't understand. Now don't go tell them that the devil's speaking for them, okay? I want you to get the reality of it, though. That goes through your mind. That goes on in your mind. You say, oh, the devil's speaking for him. God, you want to deliver him. And you want to deliver him even more right now, because he even acknowledges how and the place that he is. He understands and he knows the problems in his life. He understands how bad a shape he is. And there's only one answer. There's only one answer. And it's Jesus. Let's worship the Lord for a moment. As we go just a moment further, again, that devil starts speaking for him. He said, my name is Legion. The enemy wants to put a name on you and wants to tell you who you are. But so fitfully, as pastor has preached, we know we are his. There may be some things that some of us are going to, well, I know pastor said that, but I'm still doing this, and that's why you got to stop. All right?
I know it's tough, and that's why I know we got problems. I know we got baggage. He said, well, I just can't. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Legion, just quickly, I think most of us probably already know this, but a legion differed in number. And at the time of Augustus and his ruling, it was a legion consisted of 6,826 men. 6,100 of those were foot soldiers, 726 were horsemen, and so you come to that number. However, through history and through all the different definitions, it comes out somewhere between 2,000 and 8,000 men, depending upon the rule, what a legion was, so on and so forth. So the question I've got for us today, and just real quickly, I want to put this in your mind. I want you to think about this. The question is, just how big is the devil? If more than 2,000, we'll take the low number, if more than 2,000 could fit in one man, how big is that? Come on now. Then why do we act like he's so big? If 2,000 demons were in this one man, one, then how big is he really? And thus we know the scripture said that there's coming a day we're going to look narrowly upon him. So let's start doing it now instead of then. Let's start doing it today instead of then. We're going to look narrowly on him at that point. But let's start looking narrowly now and going, that guy had 2,000 devils. How small they had to be to stick 2,000 devils inside of you. Wow. Pretty small stuff there. I want to put it in perspective. That's all I'm trying to do. Because we give him so much credit. And some of us don't want to admit that we are, but we do when we begin to justify why we're not letting go of certain things. Why we're not stopping at certain things that we know are not healthy for our spiritual man. Yeah. It's that... man, another thought that comes to my mind. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And I understand today I'm not looking for every devil. And I'm not saying anybody's got any devils in here, because I understand something about this. Most of what we really fight is our flesh. Now, if it is the devil or one of his imps, they're very small. Okay? Keep that in mind. Keep that in perspective. They're very small. I'm going to come back and grab that for just a minute. Verse number 10, I got to move forward. The scripture said in verse number 10 that he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Pastor, when I read that, I thought about, I heard your voice. I heard your voice when I read that. Not go too far out of the country. Just as long as you still got that connection. Pastor Philly said it. He said, I'll still let you come to church. I'll still let you go to the altar. I'll still let you do all those things. I'll still let you play on the platform. I'll still let you do this. But don't totally disconnect. Yeah. Don't send us too far. Don't send us completely out of the country. Wow. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine. And all the devils besought him, saying, now it goes, look here how it goes to all of them saying, hey, we all want on this deal. Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Again, we don't want to go too far So send us into those swine over there. I still am amazed how the dialogue is going. Verse number 13 says, forthwith Jesus gave them leave. All right, go. All right, go. Get out of here. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Just say this real quickly. In the case of possession, by demon possession, I want to make it very clear that I believe that there is a difference between possession and influence.
Yeah,
And so really what I'm talking mostly about here in this assembly today is about influence more than possession. But the shoe fits. I didn't say if it fits. I said it fits. Influence, because he is constantly trying to influence us in some way. Now he's not omnipresent. So there again, I will reiterate again. A lot of what we fight is our flesh. Praise God. A lot of what we fight is our flesh. However, I believe the other night when we were here praying, my wife and I had a horrific headache. And lo and behold, can you imagine when we leave, it's gone?
Yeah, yeah.
I said, now hang on a second.
Talk about this.
Now wait a second. Now I'm going to tell you something else. I was sick yesterday. I felt sick this morning. I said, ain't no way. Ain't no way I'm sick. No way I'm sick today. Not today. I'll be sick on Monday. I'll call into the boss and say, I ain't going to be there. But I'm not going to be sick on Sunday. We got church. We got to be in the house of the Lord. There's stuff that's got to happen. I'm not going to be sick on Sunday. Just saying. Now, let me go further. Don't just tell those spirits of torment. I'm giving you some instruction here this morning. Don't just tell those spirits of torment to go, but tell them where to go. Tell them where to go. Because you have the authority to do so. So when they come to you in that midnight hour, and when they come to you on Sunday morning, you need to tell them. I say you need to tell them where to go. Get out of my house. Don't send them to your neighbor because you're trying to win them. Send them to Tulsa. Send them to Chicago. No, send them to California. That's where they belong. I got you to laugh a little bit. There's a purpose in that. Amen. Amen. Send them, but do it. Send them out. Get out of my house. Get out of my family. Get out of my church. You don't belong here.
Yeah.
That influence doesn't belong here. Get out of here.
Right.
Send them out. Amen. You're not welcome here. I want to go to verse 14. We're gonna start to slowly wrap this up. Verse 14 said, and when they had fed the swine, or those that had fed the swine, told them in the city and in the country that they went out to see what was done. They said, man, what in the world's going on? And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with devils, or with the devil. And the legion, they still kept his name. And the legion, that's what the world wants to do. The world still wants to say, he may be sitting at the feet of Jesus, but I still know who he is. I don't have enough time. Sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They're afraid because we know this guy. We put handcuffs on him. We bound him with ball and chain. We put him in jail, and he broke out every time. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with devils, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray. Oh, you're going to get spiritual now. You're going to get spiritual now. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They tried everything with this man, but they're more concerned about the swine, of which they weren't supposed to have, and the income of which it had, than the deliverance of the man. There's nothing more important than one man being delivered. Because even the scripture said that when one sinner repents, that all of heaven has a party. Now let me tell you something. Sometimes we'll get excited about that when we see the first time sinners step in the door and repent. But I'm here to tell you that it's not just that. Because there's times when this boy has to repent. And I think all of heaven has another party. They're like, that's what's going to get you saved, buddy. Keep doing that right there. Come on. Because the fact of the matter is that while you continue to live in sin, whether you look like you look, it don't matter how you look. You could be as lost as a ball in high weeds. You might find that when you get lawn mowing. But you can be lost as can be, brother. And look the part, look everything. Oh God, help us. Oh God, help us. So they tried everything, but this man could not be delivered. And when heaven rejoices, I believe he rejoices every time that you and I repent. Some of y'all don't believe that. I believe that. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him, or that he might go with him. Now I want to take you back just a moment and say this, that remember, this was a quick trip across the water to deliver a man, one single man. And hindsight is easy for us to see, because just before this, that's what happened. Jesus told the disciples, we're going to go to the other side. They start over to the other side. What's amazing is it's not that far. If you've been there, it's not that far. You can stand on this side and look on that side and go, okay, wow. It brings a whole new perspective to see this shoreline and that shoreline. And to know that Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And he jumps in the boat with the guys, and they go over, and they go do it by night, and a storm rises up. So fierce that the boat fills with water. And Jesus is taking a nap. He's getting charged up, ready to deliver this demon possessed. Huh? He's down there, he's taking a snooze, and those guys come down and they say, hey, what's wrong with you, Jesus? Don't you care? We're fixing to die here. Don't you know that you may be sleeping here in the bow of the boat and the water hasn't gotten that high, but it's fixing to we're fixing to drown. And he gets up and he said, oh, you guys. Oh, ye of little faith. Stop. Calm. Quit blowing. Wave, settle down. I'm going to go back to sleep. And they go, and everything ceases. And they get to the other side. I say that because during this raging storm, during all of this, what was it for? There was a purpose for that storm in particular. It was preparing the disciples for a miracle. It was to build their faith. So when you're going through a storm, when you're going through a struggle, understand this is here to build my faith for the next miracle. because God's fixing to do something great. Because God's doing something great. Because God's going to work another miracle. Because God's going to deliver somebody else. And he's going to use this dirt ball. Use this dirt ball, amen. And so he allows me to go through the struggle to build my faith for the next miracle that needs to happen in somebody's life. So what was Jesus's example? He calms the sea by words. Again, now Legion wanted to go with Jesus, right? 18, he wanted to go with Jesus. He said, hey, I want to go with you guys. Jesus is done. They had this happen, then this deliverance, and then he says, hey, I want to go with you guys. And they said, nope, that's all we came over here for was to deliver you. You guys get on the boat. Let's go. He said, well, hold on. I want to go with you. Now, how many of you would like that?
Oh, yeah.
Some of you would be like, bless God. I don't care what you say, Pastor. I'm getting on that boat. I ain't staying here. Well, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends. I think that's very strange. Wait a second. Friends? He didn't have no friends, sis. He didn't have any friends. He ran naked by himself through the mountains and the cemetery, screaming and hollering and cutting himself. He didn't have any friends, but he did at some point. And others around him saw the destruction of his flesh. And that's who Jesus said, go get those people that were your friends before this mess happened. We're preaching on soul winning right now.
Yeah.
He said, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and he began to publish it in none other than Decapolis. How great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So the question is, who evangelized or who preached to Decapolis? It was Legion. The man that was messed up beyond help from family, from friends, from therapists, from government help. It was none other than Legion. My God, have mercy. So to close, when you and I think that we've messed up too much and we're bound by the enemy and we're struggling every day and there's really no peace, there's just torment, there's struggle, there's fight, there's pain, and you're running around the cemetery with no hope, I just can't quit, and I know it, I know it, I know it as sure as I'm standing here, as Pastor has preached, and he said, delete that number, get rid of this, fix that song list, I know as sure as I'm standing here, that's exactly what you said, but I just can't, I just can't do it. And you make up all the reasons why, and all the justifications why. And you're just struggling. And whatever your reason is, and whatever the situation is, you're still having to deal with the influence of that spirit. But today, I said, today is the day of deliverance. He said, I got purpose. I got purpose. I'm going across the sea and somebody's going to get delivered today. I've got purpose in this house and somebody's going to get deliverance. Somebody's going to get set free. We're not going that way any longer. Today is the day of deliverance. I'm going to tell you, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Now, there was days I couldn't tell you that. Please be seated for a few more moments. There was a day I couldn't do that when I was 18 years old. I'm going to testify for just a minute. When I was 18 years old, I had a situation that I look back on and it was very dumb. Nevertheless, I was hurt. I was so emotionally a mess. I went up in the mountains in my pickup and I grabbed my shotgun from off the rack and I put it through the wheel. Took my shoe off. Took my sock off. Shotgun. And this is an 18-year-old young man that got called into the ministry when I was 16. I had already been preaching. I knew how to pray. I knew how to shout. I knew how to dance. I knew how to dress right. I knew how to do all those things. But a spiritual influence came in and it messed with my mind and I was hurting emotionally. And I stuck that shotgun in my mouth and I put my toe on that trigger. And I said, God, if you've ever been real before in my life, you need to be real right now. Yeah. And I started applying pressure to that trigger. And I fell asleep. And I woke up 2 hours later. I woke up 2 hours later and I said, okay, God, I got it. Oh, there's been so many. I'm not going to tell you all, but I know, as sure as I'm standing here, there's those of you that you've gone through certain things, and even though you've been in the church, and you guys, I'm telling you, I wish I could just put what I got inside of me inside of you, because I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be 18, 19 years old. I know what it's like to do your little jig. That doesn't mean anything. You get so used to it. You got to go. You got to say, I can't just have church. I'm sick and tired of that. Oh, Pastor, please forgive me if I'm doing wrong. Just tell me. Pull my shirt tail. I'm sick and tired of having church. We didn't come to have church. We came to have a move of God. Amen. We didn't come here to have a church. But we came here to entertain the presence of Almighty God. And He's not impressed with our fancy this. He's not impressed with all that. He wants us to be real and raw and say, I'm broken. I'm busted. I need help. I can't do this on my own. I've got to have help. I know what it's like for those spiritual influences to wreak havoc in your mind. And you say, but I won't. I messed up here, I messed up there. And you come back and you repent over the same dumb stuff over and over and over again. Today is your day. Today, you can walk out different. You can walk out free. You can walk out restored. You can walk out renewed. You can walk out with your relationship to a new level. Let me tell you, I'm talking about bitterness, I'm talking about strife, I'm talking about anger, I'm talking about all those things that you can cover up. It's time for somebody to take it off. I'm done with that. I gotta get it off of me. I don't have nothing to hide. I'm naked. I can't stand the pain anymore. I can't stand the emotional trauma in my world anymore. I can't stand the torment. I'm done. this man, Legion, Pastor. Legion of all people went and evangelized Decapolis. Do you know what Decapolis means? The place of 10 cities. And he evangelized it, Brother Josh. He evangelized 10 cities by the word of his testimony, Elder. By the word of his testimony, Brother Michael. He evangelized 10 cities. But most people looked. That's Legion. That's Legion. Look at his arms. Look at how scarred up he is. Look. Oh, I remember when he was doing. But I got a testimony. He delivered me. He delivered. And sometimes we only want to talk about this massive deliverance of these 2,000 demons with Legion. But I'm going to tell you what, and say, oh, well, that was different. Oh, yeah, it was quite different. It was a whole bunch more than what you've got.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be smart, but that's the truth. And we struggle, and we fuss, and we fight, and we're traumatized by life. We're traumatized by life. I get it. Quit trying to hide behind it. Be real. It's okay to be real. Say, oh, I can't be real because I got hurt before. I got hurt before. Yeah, so what? So did I. I'm going to tell you, there's such a liberty just being real. I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing that Jesus didn't give me. So it really don't matter. When you get to that place, there's freedom. And I'm sorry for that microphone situation. Whoever's trying to listen to me ain't getting much. You should have been here. No, it's still on. It's still on. I've just been holding it down. I just ain't been talking. Sorry, y'all. I've been burdened. I want you to understand something, though. This wasn't by happen chance. Gadarene. You got to understand the definition of the Gadarene. When you look up the definition of the Gadarene, it means reward at the end. So when you think you're at the end, when you think there's no hope, when you think you just can't do it, when you think that, when you're at the end, that's just the place you want to be. Because there's a reward at the end. I don't find it strange at all because of God and His perfection. No, I find it very complimentary of how he did it. Took a horrible, horrible situation that would be far worse than anything that we have experienced. And some of us have experienced a lot of junk. We've had a lot of heartbreak. We've had a lot of issues. We've had a lot of people let us down. We've had people abuse us. There's all kinds of junk. And some of us aren't healed from it yet, but we're getting healed. Some of us may not be delivered entirely yet, but today's a good day. There's a reward. There's a reward at the end. There's a reward. There's a reward at the end. Because I feel His presence. And He can comfort me like nobody can comfort. Nobody can touch me
like Jesus can. There's a reward at the end. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Kill me. Go ahead. I think that's why Paul didn't care. Don't worry about me. I'm going to be all right. When it's time for me to die, God's going to pull the plug. Let's get her done. And you say, oh, you're saying that so flippantly. No, I don't really want to die. I don't. I don't. I love living. I really do. And then when I stop and I get into the presence of the Almighty, I go, nah, let's get out of here. Let's just get out of here. God, so when you're ready, just pull it. I don't care how you do it. Just get her done. I'm out of here. But until then, I've got a Decapolis to reach. I said, until then, I've got a Decapolis to reach because he's delivered me, because he set me free, because he healed me, because he washed me, because he purified me, because he forgave me. Would you stand here this morning? They love their lives. They love not their lives unto death. It's amazing. The next scripture it said, therefore rejoice, O ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And it said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Oh, Jesus. So number one here this morning, I'm trying to reach to those of you that you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've hid behind facades. You've hid in little places and nooks and crannies. But there's so much hurt going on inside. There's some of you that I don't even know you, but just in the past few weeks, my heart has bled multiple times praying for you, that God would help you. And he loves you so much. I said, he loves you so much. You didn't hear me. He loves you so very, very much. He crossed the sea. And he came to deliver. He's here today. Oh, I can feel his mighty presence. I know some of you already feel it right now. Jesus. There's deliverance in this house for you today. Whatever the problem is, whatever the heartbreak is, whatever that situation, whatever it is that you're going through, you've been struggling with lying. I'm going to tell you what, he can deliver you today. See, we don't talk very much about lying anymore. We want to talk about all those big sins, those nasty big sins. But we got too many liars in the church.
Yes.
I said, we got too many liars in the church, and you've made lying acceptable in your life. But all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. And you don't want to be lost over that dumb thing. That's just such a small, small demon. That's such a small demon. Come on, today. Be delivered today. Let the hand of Jesus come into your world. Let him heal those tender spots. There's some tender places right now that you don't want me to touch. You don't want nobody to know that you got some tender spots there. And you've got questions in your mind, and some of you are struggling right now. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. You're struggling right now, and you've got questions about what I preach, and you're letting the questions dominate your deliverance right now. You could be delivered in miraculous ways. You could be healed in so many ways right now. But you've got all these questions and you're analyzing everything. You're reasoning and you're going to reason conviction right out the door. And you're going to let Jesus pass you by this moment. You're going to let Jesus pass you by. I heard great reports about the prayer that we had on Friday throughout the day and into the evening. The power of God was in this house. God was moving. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not the only one that has prayed this, I am sure. But I prayed sincerely. I walked up and down every one of these aisles. And I said, God, we've got to have deliverance in every single one of these pews. That every person that sits in these pews, no matter who they are or where they've come from, God, that you would deliver them, that you would set them free, that you would heal every heart, that you would heal their emotions, that you would heal their mind, that you would heal them in such a profound way that they know there is no way but by Jesus. Come on, he's walking up and down these aisles right now. Reach out and touch the Lord. Reach out and touch the Lord. Come on, all over this house. Many of you are already praying. Come on, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Don't just talk to him, though. Get real with him. Get real with him. Come on. Get real. Get real. Get real with him. Get real. Quit letting the devil speak for you. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Go ahead, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Come on, where are the travailers? Where are the travailers? Where are the travailers? Where are the travailers? Come on, we got to go to a deeper place. This ain't shouting time. We'll shout some of the time, but this is a place to travail. This is a place to seek God. Come on, we got to go deep. Come on, we're not going to stop with superficial. We're not going to stop with superficial. Come on, somebody. Come on, saints of God. Come on, we got to dig, 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 dig. Come on. Come on, sister. We got to dig. Come on, brother. We got to dig. We got to dig deep. We got to dig deep. There's souls that are weighing in the balances. The second thing is some of you that you know exactly what I'm preaching and you've got it. I'm going to tell you, this is a good time for you to help and be a vessel. Be a vessel right now. Be a vessel. Be a vessel where the Holy Ghost can move. Be a vessel. Be a conduit where the Spirit of God, where that Holy Ghost power will flow through you to that neighbor, that will flow through you to that brother, to that sister. Come on, this ain't a time for pride. Set it aside. This is a time to get healing. This is a time for miracles. This is a time. This is a time. This is the day. Come on, set the pride aside. Set it aside. Set it aside. Set the pride aside. God, I'm a vessel. I'm a vessel. I want you to use me. Come on, somebody. Be that prayer vessel that God, that God, that God can use you. That God can use you. Come on, it's time to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I don't want everybody just praying for anybody, but I want you to diligently right now, God, if there's something that I need to, maybe it's something you need to take care of. I just felt that. Maybe it's something you need to take care of it right now, because you got to leave your gift at the altar. God's not going to hear it. God's not going to do anything with it. If you got odd in your heart against your brother, you got to take care of it right now. Got to take care of it right now. Then God will take that sacrifice. Come on.
Come on. Come on. Maybe you're somebody right now that you need. You're feeling in your heart to go pray for a sister, to go pray for a brother. I don't want you to ignore the Holy Ghost. You don't have to speak. You don't have to say a lot of fancy stuff. Just be in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on. This is this Sunday. We're not having church tonight. Come on. Let's let the Holy Ghost. Let's let the Holy Ghost. Come on. Let's get somewhere in the Spirit today.